valley and mountain, river and plain, through wind and storm,
rides Anne of the Airlines.
Burton and Jack Baker en route to Cape St. Roque in South America in the stolen stratosphere ship with the two diamond smugglers Vic and Joe sight a castaway on a small island off the coast near the equator. Sighting the airplane, the castaway evidently faints and falls near the fire that he has built to attract the attention of a rescue ship. But in attempting to land the huge ship on the small island, Jack finds that the landing gear is firmly stuck by the pitch that has adhered to the wheels when they became mired in the asphalt lake on Trinidad. A fast power dive and pull-out has failed to shake the gear loose, and the flames of the signal fire are creeping closer to the unconscious victim. Telling his three passengers to fasten their safety belts, Jack plans one more attempt to release the gear. Will Jack's attempt be successful, or will his landing on the isle be too late to save the marooned man from the crackling flames? We hear the frantic whine of the motors as they draw the huge ship toward the water.
What are you trying to do now, Baker? Crack this ship up?
Never mind, Morgan. Nothing will happen if this works.
Gee, it looks like we're going into a loop.
That's exactly what we're going to do, Joe. At least part of the loop.
A fine time you picked to pull stunts of a ship like this. They'll cut it off and leave that guy down there. Somebody will pick him up.
You mean before those flames get to him? Better take another look, Morgan.
I wonder how close they are. Jack, where's the island? I can't see anything down there but the sky.
She's right.
Hey,
it's all right, Anne. Just look up. You'll probably see the ocean and the island, too.
But, Jack, why, at least it looks like it does.
What's the idea, Baker? Turn the ship right side up. The blood's all rushing to my head. My ears are ringing already.
You'll get used to it in a few minutes. I hate to have to do this, Anne, but it looks like it's our only chance to get that gear loose.
Baker, if you don't mind, I'd like to know just what's the idea of flying upside down like this. Just so you can get a better look at Robinson Crusoe down there, the sun is blistering my face.
That's exactly the idea, Morgan. Asphalt has the happy faculty of getting very soft in heat. Underneath the ship, the stuff that was on the landing gear was in the shade. The pitch got cool and hard. Nothing on earth could jar that gear loose. But a few minutes exposed to that equatorial sun up on top, as they are now, we should be able to kick that gear down in a few minutes.
But, Jack, do you think the sun will get warm enough to make it let go?
Gosh, Miss Burton, ain't you never lost one of your shoes on an asphalt pavement in the summertime? Boy, those things get plenty sore.
That's right, Joe. How do you feel, Ann?
Just a little dizzy, that's all, but I guess I can stand it for a little while longer.
Well, the sooner we get this thing turned right side up, the better. This strap is about to cut me in two, and my head feels like it was in a vice.
Yeah, but just think how that poor guy down there is going to feel if we don't get that gear jarred loose. See there? He's not moving any, and that smoke is nearly to him.
Of course, the heat or the sudden pain might bring him back to consciousness. At least long enough for him to roll away from that piece of timber,
But then we can't take a chance on it. I'll see you, Joe. I'm going to shove this stick forward and climb in a minute.
Shove it forward and climb?
That's right, Ann. You see, upside down like this, the controls are reversed. Well, now, Joe, when I get enough altitude, I'm going to do a barrel roll and then go into another short dive. When I pull out, I want you to have that strap unfastened and be on that gear crank. Then, just as I level off, you give her all you've got.
You mean like we tried before?
That's it. We'll make centrifugal force help with this thing. If that asphalt is soft enough, that gear should go down this time. Now, you got that?
I got it, Jack.
Well, let's try and get it over with. My head feels like a balloon.
We won't have to go up very far. I'll keep the ship reversed so we can have the benefit of the sun on that gear.
But you'll have to hurry, Jack. From here, it seems the flames are almost reaching that poor fellow.
Well, this ought to be it. Now, here we go. Be ready to let go of that strap and grab that gear crank.
Better than hanging upside down like that.
Jack, you'll hit the water.
Just want to barely miss it. There, that's got it. Pull up as close to them as we can before we stop. Keep an eye on them. He might come too suddenly and run right into one of our propellers.
Not a chance. But that guy's out cold. Say, maybe...
He's not dead. He was pretty lively a few minutes ago. He'd been all right if we left him alone.
We don't do things like that, Morgan, even in the smuggling game. How's that, Ann? Close enough?
I think so.
Okay. Joe, you jump out there and pull him away from that fire.
Okay, Jack.
I'll go too, Jack. Maybe there's something I can do to help.
I wouldn't be surprised, Dan. Your training as a nurse is going to come in handy right now. Go ahead. We'll be right after you.
Well, Baker, I suppose that is your good little deed for the day, huh? We might as well be running a local freight that stops at all stations. The way you land every time you take an ocean.
Morgan, let's get this thing settled right here. You made me a deal to come into this business as a pilot.
Yeah, but I didn't say anything about you running the works. What are you trying to do? Stall for time or something?
Since we left Florida, we've made two stops, and both of them were plenty important.
Okay. The one in Trinidad we made because your girlfriend dropped her powder box and we thought it was a fire.
You mean you thought it was a fire, remember?
Okay, so I thought it was. Well, that was all right. That stop was important. But this one, us taking a swell chance of cracking up just because some guy we don't know anything about is all by himself on this island.
Which is just as imperative. That man is in need of help. From here, there isn't a bit of land in sight anywhere. And for all we know, he might have been there for weeks. So I landed.
After I said not to. Baker, after this, when I tell you not to land this ship, you're not to land. You get that?
Listen. Just as long as we're on the ground, Morgan, you can run the show. But once we climb into the ship, I'm the pilot, and I'll handle it as I see fit.
Well, maybe the doc will have something to say about that. He's the one that gives the orders, you know.
I think that even the doc will agree with me. He can give the orders where he wants me to fly, but it's up to me to say what goes on aboard this ship while we're flying there. Now, let's see how Ann and Joe are making out with our friend out there.
They're working on him, it looks like.
Ann took that emergency kit. Guess they must be trying to bring him, too. Yeah, Ann is holding the smelling salts up to his nose.
Smelling salts? Looks like a handkerchief to me.
Just another point you seem to be a little hazy on, Morgan. She's probably broken an amyl nitrate ampoule in that handkerchief. If that doesn't bring him out of it...
Let's get back to the subject. Supposing I don't like the way you handle this ship.
That, my friend, is entirely up to you. But you must remember this. You asked me into this smuggling deal. You made the entire proposition. If you want to call it all off, well, here you are.
You mean, if you can't give the orders, you'll quit, huh?
I mean, if I can't fly this ship the way it should be flown, you and your pal Joe are left with a ship on your hands.
Maybe Joe and me can find a way to make it unpleasant for you, in case you get an idea like that, if you get what I mean.
I think that I fully understand just what you mean. And carrying out those ways will simply leave you a long way from home and no pilot.
Maybe I could learn to fly this crate myself. You haven't thought of that, have you?
Yes, Morgan, that is entirely possible. And with the entire Atlantic Ocean to fall into... You might be lucky enough to be picked up by a government revenue cutter, whose captain will no doubt be quite inquisitive about the home port, the destination, and incidentally, your clearance papers. Ever thought of that?
Okay, Baker, you win. That is until we get to St. Roque. It might be that we could change pilots there.
Morgan, the pilots that can handle a ship like this can be counted on the fingers of one hand. And Uncle Sam knows every one of them. Sending for anyone like that would be giving your name and address to the Treasury Department. We might just as well get together now. I fly this ship for your outfit on the basis we mapped out. You and Joe are the hired hands as long as we're in the air. Is that clear?
Okay, that'll do for now. But maybe it'll change after a while. But what about Gorgeous? I suppose you're going to kick about sending her home in a tramp steamer.
Nope, there'll be no kick on that score, Morgan. I have no desire to take along any extra weight crossing the Atlantic. And Africa is hardly the place for a girl. And about her sending a message. Well, a message like that wouldn't do me any good either, would it?
I guess not. I'm glad we're together on that. Okay, you run the show in the air. I'll hand it on the ground. Maybe that's the best way anyway.
I thought you'd get the idea, Morgan.
Sure, Baker. I'm not so dumb. It might be that we make a pretty good combination at that. So there's no use quarreling over who's going to run the thing. And who knows? Maybe after a while... Well, we're not saying anything to Joe about this, see? But maybe we can work things out so the doc won't get such a big cut. After all, we're doing all the work and taking all the risks.
Now, I think I see what you mean. We might remember that, as you say... All the doc has to do is to sit back in Springfield and run his sanitarium while we have to...
Run his what? Who said anything about a sanitarium? What do you mean?
I thought you meant Doc Tyler. That's the doc, isn't it?
I get it. Now, look here, Baker. It's one thing for us to get together on some sort of a working basis, and it's quite another for you to get snoopy, see? So suppose you don't worry your head about the doc. You'll find out plenty soon enough.
Okay, Morgan. I was just thinking, that's all. Maybe you better climb out and see how Ann and Joe are making out with a stranger.
Yeah, and start getting away from here. Man, it's hot.
He doesn't seem to be out of it yet. Must be something radically wrong with the fellow.
Looks like he might be some sort of a foreigner from here. How's he doing, Joe?
He seems to be coming out of it a little.
He'll be all right in a little while. He doesn't seem to be injured. If we could just get him into some shade, this sun is terribly hot.
We could carry him over onto the wing of the ship. Give me a hand here, Vic. I think the three of us can manage him.
He's a foreigner, all right. Well, dressed for a fisherman.
He's no fisherman or anything like that. You can tell by looking at him.
All right, let's carry him over there to the ship. You get my jacket out of the cabin, will you, Ann?
Right.
We can make a pillow for his head. Now, steady, fellas. Don't want to hurt him.
How about this, Jack?
This ought to be all right. Put that jacket under his head. That's it, Ann. Now, easy. And there. Oh, what seems to ail him, Ann?
Heat, I think, and probably thirst. I'll give him another whiff of this amyl nitrate. There. He seems to be coming out of it. He opened his eyes.
Steady, old boy. You'll be all right. Steady now.
Oh, senor.
What's he saying?
He wants water. Now, Vic, hop into the cabin and bring us a cup of water, quick.
We mustn't give him too much at first. That would be as bad as none at all.
Okay. We'll give him just enough to straighten him out.
Another hour, and I'm afraid it would have been too late in this terrible heat. There. There now. We'll have Alwa for you in just a minute.
So, Mr. Know-it-all Baker, a fine pilot you turned out to be.
What do you mean, Morgan? Let's have that water and we'll...
What water? Listen, wise guy. When you so brilliantly turned our ship upside down, you drained all three tanks of water into the cabin. There's not a drop of water on this ship.
Stranger dying of thirst, and not a drop of water aboard the plane. Surely our friends will not attempt to allay his thirst with seawater, whose deadly content of salt has spelled doom for so many thirst-crazed victims. But the life of the maroon stranger hangs by but a slender thread, and every minute is precious. Can they find a few drops of the life-giving fluid in time, or has their gallant effort to save his life been in vain? For the answer, we must wait until the next thrill-laden episode of Anne of the Airlines.